Parak Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud. We're continuing our discussion about Melech HaMashiach and the way the world will appear at the time of the coming of Mashiach. Pasuk Yud, again Parak Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud. On that day, Shoresh Yishai, the root of Yishai, referring to Melech HaMashiach, which comes from Yishai, David ben Yishai, Asha Oimei L'nei Samim, that will stand as a flag for the nations. He will serve as a flag for the nations, a magnet. All the nations will come to Mashiach. A love to him, Goyim Yidroshu, nations will seek out Mashiach. V'hoyisa Menucha So Kavod, and his resting will be his honor. Okay, there are a number of ideas that are expressed in this pasuk. First of all, let's work backwards. Last three words, V'hoyisa Menucha So Kavod, his resting, his honor. You translate the words backwards. Kavod, his honor, will be rest. This is not like the world the way we know it. The world generally, leaders, powerful leaders, their success comes from conquest, where they go out to the world and they conquer the world, they conquer nations, they do battle. Successful people, the people generally that reach out, they travel throughout the world and they deliver their message. Mashiach will not be like that. Instead, Mashiach will stay put. He will rest. He will stay put in one location, and the nations will come and seek him out. His honor will be not through going out, but rather his honor will be being stationary and others coming to seek Melech HaMashiach. Okay, that's one interpretation. Another interpretation is simply that he will not wage war. Most powerful leaders in the history of the world have been successful through war. People make a name for themselves through Melchama, not Melech HaMashiach. His success will be peace. His success will be in bringing Menucha to the world. Another idea expressed in this pasuk is Asher Oimed L'Neis Amim. I think pretty much we believe, we've been brought up, that the Melech HaMashiach will serve the Jewish people. We're waiting for Mashiach. When Mashiach comes, he will build the Beis HaMikdash, he will teach us Torah, he will solve all of the Jewish problems. What about the nations of the world? What about the goy? Most of the world is not Jewish. Okay, so he'll serve a function for them. He'll put them in order. He'll give them the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. He'll teach them not to war with one another. I think that's the way we've been brought up, is the primary function of Melech HaMashiach is to service the Jewish people. There are a number of Midrashim, which seem to say just the opposite. The Jewish people at this point in time doesn't need Mashiach. I mean, we need Mashiach. We need the Beis HaMikdash, and there's going to be the Shechinah will rest. But the Jewish people will be very happy with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're not going to need the Melech HaMashiach to tell us what to do. We have the Torah, we have Rabbanim, we have Rosh Yeshiva, Talmidei Chachamim. They will guide us. The primary function of the Melech HaMashiach will be for the Umos HaOlam. It's a chiddush, tremendous chiddush. It says in Midrashim, it says explicitly, and they cite this pasuk. This pasuk clearly says, here we're dealing over here with the Shoresh Yishai, Asha Oimed, what is his purpose? L'neis Amim. He will stand as a flag for the nations of the world. The primary function of the Melech HaMashiach will be to service the nations of the world. Not necessarily us. We will be able to cope. We will be able to deal with the change in the world at this time. But it's a chiddush. It's not what we're accustomed to. But again, like I said, it's right here in the pasuk. Goyim yidroshu. The nations of the world will seek out the Melech HaMashiach for guidance. Okay, pasuk Yud Aleph. Ahoya bayamu will be on that day. Yosef Hashem. Hashem will continue. Sheinis Yado will continue for a second time with his hand to do what? Liknos Eshoorama. We have to read this pasuk backwards. We always explain the pasuk cannot be translated in order, have to be translated backwards. So if we take the pasuk out of order, we'll read it on that day. Hashem will liknos, will acquire. Will Yosef liknos Sha'ama, will continue to acquire the remnant of his nation. Sheinis, for a second time. The big question is, what is Shainis referring to? There are two basic interpretations. The first interpretation, Shainis refers to second to Yitzias Mitzrayim. The ultimate, in our history, the ultimate redemption was Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu acquired us as a nation. The second time will be in the time of Mashiach. So Mashiach, the ingathering, the kibbutz golios, is Shainis in relation to Yitzias Mitzrayim. The same scope of miracles that occurred at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim will occur once again at the time of Mashiach. Another interpretation, Shainis refers to the Bayis Shlishi. The first was the building of the Bayis Sheni. There was the Kibbutz Golios. When Ezra and Daniel, Nehemiah, when they came, and Zerubbabel, when they came to rebuild the Bayis, they rallied the people who were in Golis from the Churban Bayis Rishon to build the Bayis Sheni. There was an ingathering. But we know that most of the Jewish people did not return. A large part remained in Babel. Shainis refers to the second time that we will attempt to restore the Beis HaMikdash, reference to the third Beis HaMikdash. In other words, what's first? It says here Shainis. What is number one? And now we say number two. Either number one, the first temptation is Yitzias Mitzrayim, that was number one. Mashiach will be number two. Or we say number one is the ingathering to rebuild the Bayis Sheni. Shainis will be the Bayis Shlishi. Okay, so what's going to happen? Let's go back to the pasuk. On that day, Yosef Hashem, Shenis Yodo Hashem will extend his hand a second time, Liknos, to acquire Eshor Amo, the remnant of his people, Asher Yishaer. This refers to the exiles. Who are the exiles? Who remain may Ashur from the land, from Ashur, Umi Mitzrayim, Umi Pasros. This is a nation. I'm not familiar with exactly what these nations are. Umi Kush, Umi Elam, Umi Shinar, Umi Hamas, Umi Hayam, from the islands of the sea. These are all different nations where the Jewish people find themselves scattered. Kibbutz Golios, Hashem will continue to restore, to bring these people back to Eretz Yisrael. There's a famous Chazal, we have the Gemara says, what does it mean here? Mishor, Shor Amo. Shor means remnants. And Ein Hashchina Shara El Almi, Shemesim Atzmo Shirayim. The Shechina only rests on the humble, upon a person who makes himself into a leftover. He's not important. He's not the primary focus of attention. He sits in the background. Upon those humble people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings rest, the Shechina, and that comes from the word over here, Liknos Eshoramo. Hashem will take to himself the remnants. The humble people, they will take the lead in the time of Mashiach. Pasuk Yud Beis, V'nasa Neis La'Goyim, Hashem will lift up a flag for the nations. Now this flag is not for the nations of the world to come to Mashiach. That was the previous. This flag is a flag, if you're a Jew, come to Eretz Yisrael. The flag that's being lifted up among the nations of the world is a signal for the nations of the world to collect, to seek out, who is a Jew? Mi Yehudi. Who is a Jew that we can send these Jews to Eretz Yisrael? In fact, there's a pasuk later on, we'll see where the nations of the world will come give to present a gift to the Melech HaMashiach. What could you possibly give the Melech HaMashiach? You always hear different events where world leaders meet, they come to the White House and they present a gift to the president, or where the president of the United States goes to another country, goes to the Queen of England, presents a gift. So, what are you going to give a gift? What kind of gift will you give a world leader? So it's very interesting. I can tell what the gifts are. It said there's a pasuk later on, there's a medrash that says the gift the nations of the world will give the Melech HaMashiach will be the neshamos of Yisrael. In other words, they will search through their records and discover people who are really Jewish, who are Jews. They're not observant. They don't even know they're Jewish. They have no idea. This is an Einikel. Who knows? All the way going back from a great tzaddik. And these world leaders will collect these people and present them. Let me give you a gift. Here is a Jewish neshama. Somehow, for some reason, this neshama got lost, absorbed in our country, in our nation. He assimilated, but he's Jewish. We're returning this Jewish neshama to you, Melech HaMashiach. Take him and restore the spark of this neshama, that will be the gift. And that's exactly what's happening over here. At that time, a flag will be lifted to the nations, ve'osaf nidche Yisrael, and the dispersed Jews of Yisrael will be ingathered, unefutzos Yehudi yikabetz, and those that are nefutzos, nidche means be pushed aside. Nefutzos means dispersed, those of the Yehudi that have been dispersed will be gathered, me'arba kanfos aretz, from all four corners of the earth. Now, why does the pasuk repeat this theme twice? So it's very similar importance to the same thing is, there were two major exiles. There's the exile of the Aseres HaShvatim, time of Sancheriv. Sancheriv conquered the Malchus of Yisrael in three stages, as we learned. There was the Ever Hayam, Galil Goyim, and I forgot the third term. There were three different waves of exile of the Malchus of Yisrael through Sancheriv. That refers to the Nidche Yisrael. And then the Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar, Melch Bavel, conquered the remnants, the Malchus of Yehuda, destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and took with him the survivors, were taken eventually to Bavel. So that refers to the Nefutzos Yehuda Yikabetz. Two different sets of exiles that occurred about approximately 130 years apart. Malchus of Yisrael took place in Sancheriv. 130 years later, the Churban came to Nebuchadnezzar. So that's what it says here, the Nidche Yisrael and the Nefutzos Yehuda. And of course, Me'arba Kanfa Osaritz, this expression was taken and inserted into the Siddur, in the Bracha of Ahava Rabbah. The Bracha of Ahava Rabbah, we collect our, the minigis to collect the tzitzis, to gather tzitzis from the four corners. Me'arba Kanfa, the four corners of the earth. The earth is round. Okay, I'm sure there's a lot of time. I didn't search far enough. Maybe some other time. What is the significance of referring to the world with the term the four corners of the earth? Everything in the world is round. Perhaps it refers back to what it said about Mashiach, Lemarbe Hamisra. If you remember, we learned back in Perek Tes. In Perek Tes, it spoke about the birth of Tzidkiyahu. I'm sorry, the birth of Chizkiyahu. When Yeshaya said, Nevuah prophesied that the day will come where their tzaddik will be born. He already was born. Chizkiyahu, at the point when Yeshaya said the prophecy, Chizkiyahu was already born, and he said that Chizkiyahu is roi to be the Melech HaMashiach. And the beginning of the description of what his role, what Mashiach will accomplish, was with the words, Lemarbe HaMisra. Ula Shalom in Kates. And the mem is a mem sofis. Instead of it being the mem which appears in the beginning or the middle of a word, the mem is a closed mem which normally only appears at the end of a word. And all the mefarshim is, why is the mem closed? The mem should be a mem psucha, like we have in the beginning of a word. So we discussed then that because this was a lost opportunity. Chizkiyahu should have been the Melech HaMashiach. Yeah. Sancheriv would have been Goyig u'Magog, the Melchama between the Yehuda and Sancheriv would have been the Melchama Goyig u'Magog. Chizkiyahu would have been the Melech HaMashiach. But it was a lost opportunity. Why? Because Chizkiyahu failed to sing Shira. And we discussed the significance of what that means. Because it was a lost opportunity, the Zman for Mashiach was closed. It was temporarily pushed aside, and it will come later on. We're still waiting for it to come. That's why the beginning of these psukim, which describe the glorious days of Mashiach, begins with a letter that is sealed to indicate the lost potential, the lost opportunity that we had. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation is the role of Mashiach is to perfect the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave man the opportunity, the ability to complete the world. And this idea is brought out in Bris Milah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a person incomplete with an arla, a foreskin. And Hashem gave man the mitzvah to complete creation by removing the foreskin. Taking something which is round and turning it into a square is a form of perfecting the world. again, just like this in creation, there's a chazal that there's no meruba in Masa Bereishis. Everything in nature is not square; it's more or less round or elliptical. So to there's no but things that are created by man are square. That's what all of our mitzvos are square. Talis Gaten has four corners. Tefillin have four corners. It has to be a perfect square. All the halachas, generally halacha follows squares. Why? Why is nature round and man, mitzvah, square? It represents man's ability to perfect creation, to be a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in completing Hashem's world. Just as Hashem created man with an arla and commanded man to remove the arla and to perfect man, which represents man's goal, this is what Hashem created once for man. A mem soifis is square on the outside, but is round on the inside. If you look at a letter mem in the Sefer Torah, if you take out a Mishneh Berurah, Chelek Aleph, when we discussed the Tzuras Osios, a mem soifis on the outside is perfectly square, but inside is round. It represents Hashem's world is round, and we on the outside are here to perfect the world and to square out the corners. That's why the description of Melech HaMashiach begins with a mem sofis, to bring out this idea that the world will achieve its perfection at this point in time. Melech HaMashiach will, in the big picture of things, square out the round corners of this world. So perhaps that's why when you deal with Melech HaMashiach and he describes that he will ingather Jews, it's described in terms of from the four corners of the earth. Here, Melech HaMashiach is fulfilling the role of perfecting creation. Creation was round. Melech HaMashiach's role is to square off the corners. Lamar Behamisra, the beginning of the prophecy describing the Melech HaMashiach is with the Mem Sefis, is also described as Kibbutz Golios, bringing every Jew back to his source. This is the same idea, and again, that's why it's with the four corners of the earth. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Gimel. V'sara kinas Ephraim v'tzare Yehuda yikoresu. The jealousy of Ephraim will be removed. It will no longer exist. Tzare means to turn away. The jealousy of Ephraim will turn away. Tzare means the enemies of Yehuda, Yikoresu, will be cut off. Or here in the lighter form, we'll say will cease to exist. And the pasuk repeats itself. Ephraim lo yikane es Yehuda. Ephraim will not be jealous of Yehuda. Yehuda lo yotzar es Ephraim. And Yehuda will not cause pain. Yotzar means to bring pain upon Ephraim. Who is Ephraim? Who is Yehuda? So in the simplest sense of the word, we know that Ephraim is a term that refers to the Malchus of Yisrael. We said this many times, because when the Malchus was divided, Rechavam and Yeravam ben Nevat split the Malchus. Rechavam, of course, is the son of Shlomo HaMelech, the Malchus of Yehuda. Yeravam ben Nevat took with him the 10 Shvatim and made his own Malchus called Malchus Yisrael. Yeravam ben Nevat was from Shevet Ephraim. And therefore the Malchus of Yisrael in many places in Tanakh is referred to by the term Ephraim, referring to its founder, its leader, Yeravam ben Nevat, who came from Shevet Ephraim. Throughout the long period of about 250 years where these two kingdoms existed, there were times when there was peace, but there were civil wars. There was always fighting and jealousy. Rechavam was not happy that Yeravam ben Nevat took away the majority of Klal Yisrael and made a separate malchus, two shuls. There was one shul, and now there are two shuls. They were not exactly very happy with the situation. So there was always, throughout the entire history, there was always jealousy. Enmity. There was an uncomfortable relationship between these two sections. So when Mashiach comes, Mashiach will restore all these two sections of Klal Yisrael. They'll be reunited. No longer will there be jealousy. The Sarah Kinas Ephraim. No longer will Ephraim be jealous of the Malchus of Yehuda. V'tzara Yehuda Yikoresu. And the enemies of Yehuda, referring to Ephraim. So the enemies of who are the enemies of Yehuda? Ephraim. The Malchus of Yisrael will no longer be jealous of Ephraim. Lo yikane yes Ephraim lo yikane yes Yehuda. Yehuda lo yotzar es Ephraim. Each Malchus will no longer there will no longer be bad feelings between the two different sections of Klal Yisrael, the Malchus of Yisrael and the Malchus of Yehuda. That is one interpretation. Another interpretation, being that referring to Mashiach, we know in Chazal tell us that there are two Mashiachs. There is Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David, Mashiach of Yehuda. So Mashiach will come from the Shevet of Yehuda, and the Mashiach will come from the Shevet of Yosef. Ephraim is one of the children of Yosef. Mm-hmm. So it appears, it's not clear, that the two Mashiachs, at the end of days, they will not necessarily have a good relationship. Each one has a different role. There's a Chazal that Mashiach ben Yosef will die in the Melchama, and then Mashiach ben Yehuda will come. Okay, we don't know these things. The Rambam says not to delve into these things. We really don't know what these things mean. Here we have a little hint that it says this in the Medrash, says this in the Farshim, that there appears that there would be, or there is, some type of strained relationship between the two Mashiachs, Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David, what each one's role is, who their followers are. But no, Pasuk here says there will come a point in time in the end of days when everything leads to the ultimate end, where the jealousy of Ephraim, the Mashiach ben Yosef, will no longer be jealous of the Mashiach ben David, and the Mashiach ben David will not have any problem with Mashiach ben Yosef. That's another interpretation for this pasuk. Pasuk Yudalit. Pasuk Yudal now describes the coming Mashiach is here. There's the Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef. And the nations of the world, they have come, they will send presents, they will seek out from the Melech HaMashiach how to conduct oneself. Now, it appears there will be a conquest. The Jewish people will conquer their enemies. The Ofu means to fly. Now, fly, today we know flying, on a plane you can fly, so today there's no problem. It's interesting that how they interpreted this pasuk years ago. But the Ofu b'chosef. Chosef means the side. And in this context, it means very quickly. There will be a war where the Jewish people will conquer their enemies. Who will they conquer? The Plishtim Yama, the Plishtim on the west. Yachtov, Yovozu, Espenei Kedem, and then together. Together means both the Malchus of Yisrael with the Malchus of Yehuda together will plunder the Bnei Kedem, those on the east. We have enemies on the west and enemies on the east. Who are the enemies on the east? There is Edom u'Moav. Edom and Moav Mishloch Yadam. I'll read the pasuk. Let me just run through the pasuk very quickly to get the idea. Then we'll read the exact translation of the words in a moment. Edom and Moav Mishloch Yadam. The Jewish people will send forth their hand, will extend their hand to the nation of Edom and the nation of Moav, and take and conquer and take plunder. Uvnei Amon Mishmatam, and the people of Amon will be, it doesn't say they will conquer them, but will listen. Lashon of Shema. Whatever the Jewish people say, the nation of Amon will obey, will listen and abide. So let's read the Pasuk one more time. Pasuk Yidal, the Ofu. At this point in time, they will fly. And it's to be interpreted to mean they will quickly, just as one flies, one travels at great speed, they will quickly, because safe, they will quickly go to the sides. The Jewish people will conquer very quickly the enemies at their sides. Who are their enemies at their sides? We have the Plishtim Yoma. We have the Plishtim on the west. Period. What else will they do? Yachtov, together, the Malchus that has, of Yehuda and the Malchus of Yisrael that has been restored and unified, together, Yovozu es b'nei kedem, they will plunder their enemy on the east. Who are the enemy on the east? Edom u'Moav mishloch yadam, to Edom and Moav, they will actually extend their hand, the Jewish people will enter, will physically conquer and plunder, take their property. Uvnei Amon does not say they will enter and physically conquer, but they will impose rules upon them, and the people of Amon will be obedient to the Jewish people. Uvnei Amon mishmatam will be people who will listen to the Jewish people. There are three nations here. They're on the east. Edom, Moav, and Amon. And we know, go back to the Bris Ben HaBesarim, we know that Hashem promised Avraham Avinu that you will inherit Eretz Yisrael. How many nations are there in the biblical Eretz Yisrael? 10 nations. Actuality, how many nations were conquered by the Jewish people in the time of Yahushua? 7. Only 7 were conquered. Which 3 were not conquered? Cani, Kenizi and Kadmoni. There were three nations that were not conquered. Who are these three nations? The Gemara, Masechet Megillah, and Rashi and Chumash says Keni and Kenizi and Kadmoni refer to Edom, Moab, and Ammon. They're nations. These are nations which were never conquered. So we have Hachiti, Hoemori, the Aprizi, the Hayavusi, the Hagigoshi. There are seven nations listed which were actually conquered in the time of Yehoshua. Seven nations. Three nations were not conquered. They are Edom, Moab, and Ammon. But Hashem promised this to Avraham Avinu, Ein Hachinami, they were promised, and it will be fulfilled in the time of Mashiach when we will conquer Edom, Moab, and Ammon. They are what the Torah refers to, what Hashem referred to Avraham Avinu as Keni, Kenizi, and Kadmoni. And here in Yeshaya, when the Pasuk describes what will happen at the time of coming Mashiach, he explicitly says, here you have these three nations, the three nations on the east, you will conquer them, two will be physically conquered, Mishloach Yodo, and one will not be physically conquered, but it will be equivalent to a conquest because they will be obedient to your desires, your wishes. Pasuk Tesvav. Now the Pasuk describes miracles that will occur at the time of Mashiach at the Kibbutz Golias when the Jewish people return to Eretz Yisrael, similar to what happened at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. What was the ultimate miracle of Yitzias Mitzrayim? Kriyas Yamsuf, the Yam split. When the Jews escaped from the Egyptians on the way into the desert, the Yam split. Here we're going to have something similar, the splitting or the drying up of the ocean or the sea. It's not clear what we are referring to, in order to enable the Jewish people to comfortably return and travel to Eretz Yisrael. The Hecherim Hashem. Hashem will dry up. Hecherim is an unusual word. If you look in, here it means krisa, the ibut, will destroy. Okay, the Mitzudah says it means to destroy or to cut up, will cease to exist. Rashi says, the Hecherim liyavshoy. Hashem will, doesn't that, even though the word literally is to be translated, the little translation means to destroy, here it means it will dry. The waters will dry, the sea will turn into a dry land in order to enable Jewish people to walk on the dry land. V'hechem Hashem will dry up. Es Lishon Yom Mitzrayim. Lishon means the tongue. Here it means the extension, some type of channel or some extension of this body of water, of the Yom Mitzrayim. V'hinif Yodo Al Hanahor, and Hashem will wave His hand. It's not clear what this means, upon the river. By Yom Rucho. The word Bayom does not appear anywhere else in Tanakh. That's what it says here in the Mefarshim. It's an unusual word, and when you don't have a word that doesn't appear anywhere else, it's always very hard to find a precise translation, especially with the Sheresh. It's not clear what the Sheresh is. And the Mefarshim say, we don't really know what this word means, but from the context of the Pasuk, it means to the strength, the Koyach, the Koychai. Hashem will wave His hand al Hanar, Bayom Rucho, with the power of His Spirit. The power of His Spirit, v'yikohu, and Hashem will separate, will smite the Yom, the sea, which you are referring to. It's not clear. Is it referring to the Yam Suf? What is the Yam Suf? It's not even clear itself. What is the Yam Suf? There are different interpretations. Does it refer to the Mediterranean? Does it refer to the Atlantic Ocean? Does it refer to the Pacific Ocean? That's not clear what this means, but it just says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will smite this body of water. It says, well, does it just as we call it, well, does say the Yom Mitzrayim. Yechem Hashem is Lishon Yom Mitzrayim. Then it's Veinif Yodo Al Hanor, the river. So it does say a river. River is not an ocean, it's not a sea. So, okay, whatever. It's not exactly clear which river we're referring to. We call the Shiva Necholim, and he will separate, he will smite the seven Necholim, seven streams, seven different paths. Necholim here in Nachal really is a river. But being here that it's been dried up, Nachal does not mean a river flowing with water. Nachal here means a dry path. A dry path. There will be seven dry paths. V'hidrich b'na'olim, and Hashem will cause us to tread upon these paths with our shoes. Very, very sure. We know this is a very famous medrash. People, this is discussed in Parsha of Shaduchim, but when HaKadosh Baruch Hu split the Yam Suf, Hashem really split the Yams into 12 sections. And each Shevet walked through the Yam in their path. And according to the Medrash, it was a semicircle. So some those that are on the inside had a shorter path, those that are on the outside had a longer path. But I think many of us are familiar with this medrash that the yam was split into 12 sections. Here, when Mashiach comes, when the Jews will return to Eretz Yisrael, they will walk. They will walk to the Holy Land, and they will come from the other side of the river. Which river? It's not clear. Hashem will perform a miracle and separate this into 7 sections, not 12, 7. What's the significance of 7 verse 12? I do not know. And it says they will walk with their shoes. That's also a very interesting, what do you mean walk with their shoes? What does that mean exactly? Why do we have to mention shoes? So I did see one of the Mefarshim that did see somewhere is that the Shekhinah is resting here. The Shekhinah is resting. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking the Jewish people. We know that when the Shekhinah rests, you don't wear shoes. So here, okay, again, I don't know what this means. These are just ideas, abstract ideas, something to think about. It says in this Medrash, I believe I saw this probably in this excellent sefer called B'Shem Omro. B'Shem Omro is a collection, very short collection of short, like snippets of Targumim, of major Mefarshim. I think I saw there, it's a little snippet of this idea, is the time of Mashiach will be on a higher madrega than the world the way we know it today. The world the way we know it today, where there's kedusha, you can't wear shoes. Shal ne'olecha mi'al raglech ki hamokoim asha ato oimet sham ad mas kodesh. It's a limitation. It's kedusha, you have to take off your shoes. Which basically, let's interpret this now simply, that there's a lack of mobility. If when you wear shoes, you can travel. You can go. When you're not wearing shoes, you can't travel because your feet are not equipped to deal with the environment. So there's a lack of mobility. The world, the way we know it, when you're in an environment of kedusha, to a certain degree you're limited. Because the world is not equipped to handle the intense level of kedusha. So where there is kedusha, the kedusha is isolated to a certain place. And you can't. The way the world operates inside of a yeshiva is not the way the world operates out in the world. You can't. It's a different environment. It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that we can't. The world is not ready to take the kedusha of the Beis Medrash and bring it into the world. You try. You live your life the best you can. But we understand there are different madrigos. The way you behave in the Beis Medrash is not the way you necessarily behave. It's not the way the world is outside the Beis Medrash. Unfortunately, because the world is not ready to handle that degree of kedusha, the mobility is limited in the makam of kedusha. Shal nolecha mial hamakam shal nolecha mial raglecha ki hamakam shato oimish ma'adnas kodesh. The kedusha is here. Don't be impetuous. Don't think you can take the kedusha elsewhere. When Mashiach comes, when there's kedusha, you can wear your shoes. Here it says, you'll be wearing the hidrich bana olim. You'll travel in an area of intense kedusha with your shoes. There's no limitation of kedusha. Kedusha can travel the world. This kedusha here, take the kedusha, bring it with you throughout the entire world. That's perhaps an idea. It's an idea. It has to be developed. But we see there are wearing shoes in the time of Mashiach, whereas in our world, when it's Kedusha, there are no shoes. One more pasuk finish of the perek. V'haisa mesila. And these 7 strings will serve as a path. L'sha'or amo. For the remnants of Hashem's people. Those that will merit to survive the coming of Mashiach. The remnants of His people. As we said before, the Medrash, the humble. Those that will be humble. The remnant who make themselves into Shirayim will travel this path. Asher Yisha'er, those people that have survived, the remnants of the Golus of Me'ashur, from those that have been sent into exile by Melech Ashur, the Golus of the Aseres Hashvatim, these people, the Aseres Hashvatim, will travel this path through the stream, through the river, to come to Eretz Yisrael. Kasha Haisal Yisrael, similar to what happened to the Jewish people, the Yom Alosomi Eretz Mitzrayim. Just as when Hashem took the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim, Hashem split the Yam Suf. The Yam Suf was split in order to allow them access to escape from the enemy and to travel towards their destination. Similar event will occur at the time of Mashiach. Hashem will split the Nohar, this river, in order to allow the people who are in Golus, in Ashur, and other parts of the world to travel up to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, this concludes Perek Yud Aleph. We'll stop here.